Blog Talk Radio.
One size does not fit all, especially when you're talking about your mortgage. Introducing the all-new Yourgage from Quicken Loans. Yourgage is better than a traditional mortgage because it conforms to your goals. In fact, it's the only home loan that allows you to custom design your term anywhere between 8 to 30 years. Here's how it works. Let's say you've got 8 years left on your mortgage and you want to refinance to a lower interest rate. The Quicken Loans 8-year fixed Yourgage can help. It keeps your term short and lowers your monthly payment. Just call Quicken Loans at 888-249-1425. The Quicken Loans Yourgage. It's a home loan on your terms. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 3030. Other restrictions apply. Quicken Loans. Engineered to amaze. Call 888-249-1425. That's 888-249-1425.
Blog Talk Radio.
How you let the beat feel, feel? Round and round, that pose she go. That sound it makes when she hit the floor. Go boom. I wanna take her to my room. For show, for show.
For show.
So I know, you know, every time I come in, it's jumping.
PKL, BNP, we money. Fucking with you tonight, man. Let's go.
Money. What you say?
I wanna see some ass. I wanna see some cash. Keep them dollars coming. And that's gonna make me dash. And that's gonna make me dash. And that's gonna make me dance. Make it rain tree, make it rain tree. Make it rain tree, make it rain tree. Make it rain tree, make it rain tree. Make it rain tree.
Make it rain, bitch. I'ma make it rain. Make it rain.
Ain't afraid of pics in the building, ladies. Make sure you get them pictures tonight. Y'all ain't looking good for nothing, man.
Make it rain.
Let go. Let go. Let go.
And
in Georgia, I'm letting them know all my people in the building tonight, man. Do or die. You be cute. LOC. Three burners. Job.
Money ain't a thing.
PKL, PNT, all the ENT, Big Brother Entertainment, Flatline DJs, baby. We live on the radio, J Dog, V Dog. Ain't afraid of pics, let's go.
You wanna see some ass, I wanna see some cash. Keep them dollars coming, and that's gonna make me dash. And that's gonna make me dash.
And in Georgia, baby, we blowing up the charts right now. Call in, get your shout out on.
Make it rain,
make it rain,
make it rain, make it rain, make it rain, make it rain, make it rain, make it rain,
make it rain, make it rain, make it rain, make it rain, make it rain, make it rain, make it rain,
make it rain, make it rain, make
Yo, why
yeah.
You playing,
yeah.
I
want to
see some cash.
So what you saying,
man? Sexy ladies everywhere, baby. 168 North Avenue. Let a friend know. Get the ass in the building.
Make it rain.
Dolly, you going ham, bruh.
Do your thing. Yeah,
do
your thing. Yeah, Mingo, well, out of Pingo. On a Mingo, get on my Mingo. Bitch, I'm talking shit. You know she's the shit.
Make it rain.
I'ma
make it rain.
Yeah. Let's go. Don't let me sing. Hold up.
Make it rain.
Hold up.
Make it rain.
Hold up.
Make it rain.
Let go. We up in here, man. Bulldog Cafe. Layback Sunday Bagger Club Edition. Ladies, we getting away that free money, that photo shoot with Ain't Afraid Pink. Let's go.
Y'all
for
a nigga made me see in the club. Y'all think I spent time. These hoes on my dick trying to get a little tea. It's tea by now. It's tea by now.
So fucked up. The whole world's fucked up, man. Michael Jackson lost his mind. What the hell is wrong with Michael? Another kid? Another kid? I thought it was Groundhog Day when I heard that shit. Another kid getting the fuck out of here. Yo, that's how much we love Michael. We love Michael so much, we let the first kid slide. Another kid. I'm fucking done. I'm done with Michael. I've been on a fan my whole life. I am fucking done. I'm handing in my glove. Okay. I saw Michael
on 6 artists that are changing the game. The number is 347-934-0318. All you gotta do is press 1 on the dial. Yo, real talk, yo, today is the day. Yo, it's Monday. Real talk, we're back on the grime, on the dime. You know what you gotta do. You gotta definitely get in where you fit in, man. Check it out. Radio, you get an opportunity to definitely check out some of the hardest working artists that's definitely in the game today. Yo, shouts out to all the artists that have been riding with us. Yo, 2012, we're back in the building, baby. Back and blacker than ever. Real talk, catch all the exclusive interviews, catch all the hot news about what's going on across the globe, worldwide. 22 million listeners live. Yo, over 25 radio stations, everything hip hop, reggae, jazz, you name it, we got it on WGDGA Radio, where this is the urban experience like never before. We're definitely checking you on the ride on the wild side. Shout out to my girl, Bean Sweeney, B-Dub, you know what I'm saying, the whole crew holding it down, oh, where they do to that radio. Remember, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at. And where you're doing it at, you're doing it right here, all year. WGDGA Radio, definitely in the building, man. You know what you gotta do. I'll let you, boy.
Now I bet you niggas do think y'all white. College don't mean shit. Y'all niggas, and you gon' be niggas forever, just like us, niggas.
They say we NIGGER, we are much more. Still, we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, this history don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges. They say we NIGGER, we are much more. But still, we choose to ignore the obvious. We are the slave and the master. What you looking for? You the question and the answer. We trust no black leaders. Use the stove to heat us. Powdered eggs and government cheeses. The calendars with Martin, JFK, and Jesus. Gotta be fresh to go to school with fly sneakers. Schools with outdated books. We are the forgotten. Summer's cooling off by the fire hydrant. Yeah, I'm from the ghetto. With old black women talking about their sugar level. It's not unusual to see photos of dead homies' funerals. Aluminum foil on TV antennas. Little TV sit on top of big TV eating TV dinners. Girls dyed their hair with Kool-Aid. They gave us lemons. We made lemonade. But this nigga's paid. Ancestry of slaves. Descendant of kings. Is necessary. Yacht. Bling. Put rims on everything. Wear Tims on every scene. They say we NIGGER. We are much more. Still, we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, this history don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges. They say we NIGGER. We are much more. But still, we choose to ignore the obvious. We are the slave and the master. What you looking for? You the question and the answer. Do I mean it like a slave master? Nigga, no, I'm gangster. Gotta eat rappers. My abbreviation was young when I caught the cases. That should mean the court could see my changes. Take off the bracelets. Savage went broke. Smoke sour diesel, need no Bowflex. My chest still cut up like a bag of dope. Thought patterns consist of boss matters. Spit Moses lost commandments like a gross sandwich out my mouth. Toast to government cameras peeping us every week. I must have my cars, homes, and phones squeak for bugs. But this is what I was dreaming of. Between cutting hard coke with new razors slicing my fingers up. They used to string us up. We wanted everything. But the one bringing us cake be the snakes like the... like the new Jack City wedding scene. No time for mistake, trying to get it like Medellin. They say we NIGGER, we are much more. Still, we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, this history don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges. They say we NIGGER, we are much more. But still, we choose to ignore the obvious. We are the slave and the master. What you looking for? You the question. What up, my nigga? Yeah. People afraid of criticism, but I always put myself in a sacrificial position. They been know I ain't just rapping for fame. I got my old homie half sister father asking for change. Yup, I get a cash up, this paper don't matter. They see me from skinny to fatter. When I rap about war, they got a tendency to scatter. They ain't my backup no more, so now my enemies are at my front door. Cause anytime we mention our condition, our history, our existence, they calling it reverse racism. Still to this day, the streets torn. My brother Jung, I always have a seat for him. Not behind me, beside me, you always know where to find me. They say the close ones are hurt you, so let's keep a small circle. On the road to riches and diamond rings, in the land of the blind, a man with one eye is the king. They say we N-I-double-G-E-R, we are much more. Still we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, this history don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges.
Nigger. Stop saying nigger. I'm getting a nigger headache. I can't think. Nigger, stop it, niggers.
This is an invasion, the evil genius DJ Green Lantern. Nah, that's the bar. And this is the tape. Hey, I ain't gonna do a whole lot of talking on this tape, man. Nah, speak your mind.
Blood of a slave, heart of a king.
What do it take to be a legend like Nah?
It's one life to live, so live it the best you can.
What do it take to be a
Cook the castle on his back, made backer. Exotic lady, eye catcher, holla at ya. Call me the chiropractor, working like Muay Thai class. Another chapter, the cleanest rapper, distinguished gentleman. Cook the castle on his back, made backer. Another chapter, the cleanest rapper. Another chapter, the cleanest rapper, distinguished gentleman. Cook the castle on his back, made backer. Exotic lady, eye catcher, holla at ya. Call me the chiropractor, working like Muay Thai class. Get pressed, fire out ya. And of course, I've been to Boston's back when rocking D-Boy, Eli Valor in a 190 black Benz. Now they shut down the stores when I'm shopping. Used to be train robbing, face covered in stock, and I'm now. Chain gleaming, switching lanes, two seat, and hate them, I love them, for the same reason. Can't leave it, the game needs them, cause the people need someone to believe in. So when God's son will trust, cause they know I'ma give them what they want, they're looking for a holder, reloader, come at me, I'ma rip your soldiers in half. Silverback ape, nickel-plated mag, young, rich, and flashy. Young bitch, I'm nasty on black clothes, the ice lay on me so classy. And every time I close my lids, I can still see the barrel, I can still see the bridge, can still see the dreams that my niggas ain't never lived to see. Tell them angels open the door for me. From nine Berettas and moving raw, to chilling in wine cellar, sticks and humidors. That's what I call mature, that's what I call a G, that's what I call a pimp, that's what I call a gangster, to the fullest. I'm trying to make more cream by every September 14th. That's my dream, so I can be more clean. As I grow yearly, I can see things more clearly. That's why they fear me. Can't gleam and switch your lane, two seat and hate them, I love them for the same reason. Can't leave it, the game needs them. Trouble people need someone to believe in. So when God's son will trust, cause they know I'm gonna give them what they want. Nas, why is you trying it? My lawyers only see the billboard charts as winning, forgetting. Nas the only true rebel since the beginning. Still in musical prison and jail for the flow. Try telling Bob Dylan, Bruce, or Billy Joe they can't sing what's in their soul. So entitled it is, I never changed nothing. But people remember this if Nas can't say it. Think about these talented kids with new ideas being told. But they can and can't spit, I can't sit and watch it. So shit, I'ma drop it, like it or not. You ain't got a copy, I'm a hustler in the studio. Come with Don Julio, no matter what the CD. I'm unbeatable, y'all. Let's go. Invasion, the evil genius.
What do it take to be a legend like Nas is?
Invasion, the Green Lantern.
What do it take to be a legend like Nas?
Blood of a slave, heart of a king. Here's another classic.
blood of a slave, heart of a king.
What do it take to be a legend like Nas?
Blood
nah.
of a slave, heart of a king.
Talk, y'all know who this is. This is my man, yo. H is the joint is called Love Don't Live Here. Real talk, check this out. This is where they do that at radio.
I followed the nut like a crazy squirrel. I never should. Tried to leave you alone, but never could. Fell flat on my face. I never thought I would, but it's all good. I should have seen it coming. Back then I had the heaviness, can't explain in my stomach. Please think I love it, cause it makes me better. Was sick, but now I got myself together. Attitude like this will never chase another nut, never. Can't say that I won't crush ever, but when I find another, I'll make sure that it's much better. Money, this is my new girl, and soon I'll make it rain like I touch weather. Listen to it. Can't you tell that my thick game is so much more clever? W1.
Welcome to the FTA Show. The FTA radio show has been called the truth about FTA Satellite. If there was one thing missing from FTA Satellite, it was this show, brought to you by the DMS International line of FTA Satellite products. Now, your host, Richard Buckner.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Total Biscuit. I'm here to talk about something of an important issue. Unfortunately, I really don't like having to do this. This is a gaming channel. We like to have fun here. This is all about enjoyment. It's all about how to spend your leisure time. Unfortunately, since a certain piece of legislation, or more accurately, two pieces of legislation, are being forced through Congress at the moment to stop you from doing just that, then I think we're just going to have a few words on the subject, are we not? So the subject of today's ridiculous lecture slash rant is the SOPA, the S-O-P-A, the Stop Online Piracy Act, and also Protect IP, which we should never forget about, because that little act, which if I recall correctly has the short form PIPA, and stands for Preventing Real Online Threats to Economic Creativity and Theft of Intellectual Property, which I might add is a fairly terrible acronym because it can read in a very bad way. I'd like to take out a little bit there. Preventing Real Online Threats to Theft of Intellectual Property. Yeah, we're going to God. America, please stop with the frickin' acronyms. Good God. It's like everything in America has to be marketable. Everything. It's buzzwords. It's frickin' acronyms all over the place. Even in politics. Joke. It's distilled down to sound bites and nonsense. Can we please act like grown-ups? This is lawmaking we're talking about, not a frickin' text message conversation. Anyway. So these two acts have potentially disastrous consequences for things that we enjoy doing. So that alone should be getting you a little bit riled. Now, to start with, before you say, oh, well, I'm not in America, so this doesn't affect me. Yeah, it does. The problem is a lot of the companies that would be affected by this legislation are in the States. And also we're talking about a country that has a great deal of control over the internet. So that's something that you might want to consider to be somewhat dangerous. Now, allow me to give you a real world. This is not a speculative example. This is a real world example that happened just a few days back. So Universal Music has been getting up in a tizzy over Mega Upload. Mega Upload, they brand as a piracy site. On the 29th of November, Mega Upload was unavailable across many countries, including the US, because of a DNS takedown request, and it was branded as a rogue site. The law enforcement authorities got involved in this. So that, if anything, is a bit of an impression of what's to come. However, it doesn't end there, because this is the thing about this bill. It's not just about taking down, quote, rogue sites. It has far more dangerous implications. So in support of Mega Upload, a bunch of artists, including P. Diddy, Snoop Dogg, Kanye West, produced a song in support of Mega Upload in order to try and raise awareness as to what was going on. YouTube was forced to take that song down when they received a takedown notice from Universal Media Group claiming it violated their copyrights. Now, the scary thing is, it didn't. It didn't violate their copyrights in any way, shape, or form. They did not own any of the content in that video, and yet they blocked it anyway. This is an example of obvious corporate censorship, trying to censor the video because it raises awareness of an issue that they don't want people to get all activist about. Why? Because they prefer that people just sit back and be apathetic about this kind of thing while they take away your rights one at a time. The scariest thing is apparently they didn't even need the rights in order to take it down. They didn't need to have a legitimate copyright infringement claim under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act In order to remove this video, they claimed that sometime in 2009, they've made an agreement with YouTube which allowed them to take down stuff they didn't have the right to. That should scare the hell out of you. It really, really should. You're talking about a corporation that apparently has the right to widespread censorship across the second biggest search engine in the world, as well as, of course, the largest supposedly free video distribution site, and arguably the largest site which enables the promotion of free and open speech on pretty much any topic you can imagine across the internet internationally. That's something that's really important. Internationally, this site, YouTube, is able to allow a medium of free speech to people in pretty much every country you can imagine. However, the problem with this bill is that it could effectively destroy YouTube and any similar site. Now, why, you might ask? There's a fairly large article, a definitive post on TechDirt that I'm referring to right here by Mike Masnick, and there is a link in the description below this video along with all of the other references that I have referred to here that tells you exactly why that is. Basically, SOPA and Protect IP allow the takedowns of site via DNS blocking simply because they could potentially enable copyright infringement. Now, up until this point, there's been something called the Safe Harbor Rule, yeah? Safe Harbor Rule basically means that unless the site is actively participating in copyright infringement, i.e. it is knowingly and expressly infringing copyright, it can't be held liable for the actions of its users, yeah? It's the same reason that YouTube continues to operate. If some YouTube user uploads a bunch of copyrighted material, YouTube is not responsible for that. It's the user's responsibility. They're not the one who gets sued. The user gets takedown requests, and if, of course, it continues, they, of course, get banned from the site. If they continue to circumvent it, then yes, the law can get involved in it. Just bear in mind that the courts are actually a limited resource, and we probably shouldn't be wasting their time with kids that upload bits of cartoons to the internet. If you want an analogy, then think about this. Think about the idea of suing Toyota for the fact that some guy just ran into the side of your car with his Toyota car. Is it Toyota's fault that that happened? Unless, of course, it was a very obvious mechanical fault that caused that to happen. No, it's the driver's fault. It's not the car's fault. Let's take it to extreme, shall we? Because let's be honest, SOPA and Protect IP are extreme pieces of legislation that have far too wide-ranging consequences. If a criminal had counterfeit goods in a bank safe deposit box, SOPA would allow the legitimate IP owner to shut down the entire bank and all of the branches without notice, search warrant, or due process. And you might think that that sounds extreme, but no, it's a good analogy because that's exactly what it does. Basically saying that, well, YouTube, you've got some copyright content on it, so you know what? We're just going to block your entire site. Basically, it would result in the shutdown of YouTube and any streaming services because someone could potentially infringe copyright. And it goes further than that. Think about other sites where you can host that. Facebook. You can host copyright content on Facebook. You can post a copyright image on Facebook. Facebook could go down after that. Let's talk about other things. Imgur, YFrog, PhotoBucket, things like that. You could even go as far as to talk about things like LiveJournal and people copying articles and posting it on their blog. That could technically be copyright infringement. The wide-ranging consequences to this are absolutely massive. And what scares me as well is the fact that the lack of due process would allow widespread DNS takedowns of websites without notice. And that basically blacks them out to the internet. There are ways around it, of course, which is why DNS blocking is a stupid idea anyway. It can be circumvented, but it causes a bunch of very real problems, including, of course, security issues. And a wide variety of security and software engineers have already brought up this point from companies like Google, Yahoo, and Cisco. And you should probably listen to those guys, because you know what? They actually know what they're talking about. This is something really dangerous about this bill. The fact of the matter is, the vast majority of people debating it have no idea what it is. They don't have any idea how to use the internet, for one thing. They have freely admitted that. All of this stuff was streamed. You could watch these proceedings. And the vast majority of people had no idea what they were saying. Those that did, of course, stood up against this bill, thank God, assuming they were not paid off not to do so. But you also had people saying, I don't know what's going on with this, and maybe we should talk to people that do. The problem is that those voices were in the minority, if you can actually believe that. You want to explain to me why we have a bunch of 50 to 70-somethings debating a bill that would affect the internet worldwide, perhaps the greatest technological innovation that we've had for a very, very long time. You want to tell me that these guys who can barely use a keyboard should be debating this and passing legislation of this magnitude? I'm going to go with no. It's like putting toddlers at the controls of a 747, but not just a 747, every 747, 777, Airbus A320, every aircraft in the world. Do you think that's a good idea? No. But that's what's happening here, and that's dangerous. Now, let's talk about the motivation for the bill, because you might say, oh, well, it's to help reduce piracy. Yeah, we get it. Piracy is a problem. But here's the thing. Big, sweeping pieces of dangerous legislation are not the way to deal with piracy. As many people have pointed out, including Valve, who are directly affected by piracy, not only in the sense that their games are pirated, but they run the largest digital distribution platform in the world. Their sales are affected by piracy. People who are pirating games are not necessarily buying them on Steam. And the head of that company, Gabe Newell, has said, piracy is a service problem, and the way to defeat piracy is to provide a better service than the pirates. And that's why you've converted a lot of pirates over to Steam. It's the same reason why a lot of music pirates have been converted over to iTunes, Spotify, Last.fm, Grooveshark, Pandora, and internet radio, because there are all sorts of different options available that are a better service than just hunting around for pirate MP3s. It's as simple as that. By the way, I might add that 15 hours ago, there was a news article that record labels have joined forces against Grooveshark. Big freaking surprise. This has actually been going on for a very, very long time. A couple of quotes here for you that you might enjoy or perhaps cringe at. Quote from 1982 from the MPAA president, Jack Valenti. We are now faced with a new and troubling assault on our fiscal security, on our very economic life, and we are facing it from a thing called the video cassette recorder. That was the rabble-rousing around the VHS in 1982, claiming that this would kill the film industry. It didn't. How about this one in 1982? When the manufacturers hand the public a license to record at home, not only will the songwriter tie a noose around his neck, not only will there be no more records to tape, but the innocent public will be made accessory to the destruction of four industries. That was from ASCAP in 1982. Did it happen? No. How about this one? From the wonderful Hillary Rosen of the Organization of Criminals, RIAA, the Recording Industry Association of America, a large lobbyist and protection group for the major labels. It was in 1998. Diamond's product Rio, which was an MP3 player, I might add, was destined to undermine the creation of a legitimate digital distribution marketplace. Did it? No. This continues to happen, and it's large companies and corporations trying to protect their dinosaur business model. And why? This is what it really comes down to. Why are they doing all of this stuff? Do you really think it's just about piracy? Do you really think they're stupid enough to believe that this will actually work? No. This is not about piracy. This is about censorship. And you might think, well, that's a wingnut theory. No. Think about this for a second. So we're talking about the idea of free speech, and we're talking about the idea of free and independent promotion of products. This is the thing. This is how corporations tend to maintain their dominance. Marketing and a stranglehold on the channels of promotion. An example would be payola on the radio, which was the practice of paying for placement of songs on radio stations, which I might add was made illegal, but it still happened anyway. You ever heard of the phrase, you got to spend money to make money? That's pretty much what happens when it comes to mass marketing. You bombard every possible channel with your product. And by channel, I'm not just talking about television, I'm talking about multimedia methods. We're talking about YouTube, we're talking about Facebook, all kinds of internet marketing, television, books, magazines, billboards, everything you can imagine. However, over the past few years, new avenues have been created whereby smaller independent companies can promote their products. If we want to give an example really close to home, what the hell do you think WTF is actually is? WTF is WTF is. It's a simple answer. It's a way for indie companies to actually get people to look at their product, whereas otherwise they might not be able to. It's a small part of what I would now consider to be marketing for indie games. Now, obviously, it's an independent form of marketing. I might hate the game, but here's the thing. It gives indie companies, indie developers, a voice that they might not have otherwise had to, say, a lot of people. I mean, your average WTF is video gets a minimum of 100,000 views. 100,000. A few years ago, that would be absolutely unheard of for an indie title. There would be no way of that happening. None. And that's just one of many examples of where independent companies, not only in gaming, but everywhere else, are breaking through as a result of alternative forms of marketing that are not directly controlled by major corporations. That is a good thing for competition. That is a good thing for innovation, consumer variety, consumer fairness and rights, and the industry in general. It makes the industries more vibrant. It makes the industries more creative, more innovative, and of course, forces the larger companies to work a little bit harder, thinking, hey, you know what? The same run-of-the-mill tripe might just not be good enough for us. Now, what happens if YouTube gets shut down? Who do you think hurts more from that? Do you think that the music industry really cares? They've been fighting against YouTube for ages. Viacom has had a massive, massive lawsuit going on against YouTube for a very long time. Viacom is a massive umbrella corporation. It covers a wide variety of different forms of media. And they are not the only one. The music industry has tried to sue them before. The fact of the matter is that, yes, while there is infringement going on, I view that as less important than the fact that YouTube is used as a platform to promote music that is not under the direct control of the Big Four. That's something to consider. Works the same with television companies, works the same with film, works the same with gaming. Bear in mind that Activision are sponsoring this bill. Let's think about that. Activision are sponsoring this bill. What do they happen to own? Oh, yes, only the biggest FPS franchise at the moment. What would they love to see continue? It being the biggest FPS franchise. What would they love to stop happening? Competition from being actively promoted. Yes, indeed, they would. And that's simple logic. It is corporate censorship. That's what it is. What does it stop? Pretty much everything you can imagine. We're talking about Let's Play content. If you enjoy that, that's gone. Review content. And you might say, well, that's protected under fair use. So that's not a problem, right? It's a bit of a problem if they take down the entire sodding website that you're hosting it on. And think about that. This isn't just a surgical removal of content. This is a mass tactical nuclear strike on pretty much everything that you enjoy. That's something that you should seriously be considering. And you might think, oh, it's a slippery slope argument. No, it's not. There is a prime example. Let's just go back to what I said before, the removal of the Mega Upload song. This is not a slippery slope. This is happening right now. It's been happening for a while. That is obvious and incontrovertible evidence. It is there. It is happening. It is what companies want. SOPA is a bad deal for everyone, as is Protect IP. Do not forget about that. There are a lot of people arguing that SOPA is deliberately extreme so that they can then push forward on the back of it Protect IP, which is slightly less extreme but nonetheless damaging. Like, oh, SOPA's crazy. Let's push through this. This is a much nicer bill. Oh, okay, it's a nicer bill. We're going to pass that. No, it's not. Protect IP is just as bad. Needless to say, this is a large and very complex bill, and I've only covered certain facets of it here in a very simplistic manner so that hopefully people can actually understand it. And for God's sake, the congressman can't even understand it. That's how complicated this sodding thing actually is. But the fact of the matter is, this could result in the removal of pretty much any site on the internet that could potentially host copyrighted content, which means the end of YouTube, means the end of every video streaming site, and more to the point, it kills future innovation. Because, let's be honest, if we talk about this extreme example of removing YouTube, that's going to cause a massive outcry, yeah? They probably won't do that. What they will be able to do is take down significant parts of it, and censorship on YouTube and the blocking of content will be far more commonplace because they've got wider-ranging powers to do it. But here's the thing. Here's what you really got to be worried about. What about the next YouTube? What about the next technological innovation? What about that innovation that doesn't get the investment that it requires to actually get going because this rule, these laws, are so strict that investors are too scared. Indeed, there is actually a quote here. I'm using this Tech Dirt article because it's very, very good indeed. This is a quote from an article on Booz & Co., and this is very much about investment and financial opportunities, so-called angel investors and venture capitalists. They say they will stop funding some internet startup business models if these rules are enacted. Why? Because it's too risky. They were talking about needing a 13 times to 20 times return on investment in order to make the risk worthwhile. So you've got a lot of potential tech startups that could change the world that simply will not happen if this rule is put into place, if these laws are enacted. It's called secondary liability, the idea that you are liable for the actions of another on your service. It's the idea of abolishing the safe harbor laws in order to punish any company that even has the means. And that's the thing, the potential, the system whereby copyright infringement could happen. Everything can have copyright infringement on it. That should terrify you. Now, if you want to read more on SOPA, there is a list of useful links in the description below this video. As I said, I've only covered certain parts of this bill. It is very complex, and you should definitely read about it. There are a ton of people who are much better at explaining it than I am, but the point of this video was to actually make sure that you guys are aware that this is happening, and this is dangerous. So how can you help? The debate over SOPA will be resuming on the 21st of this month. Now, do not get fooled by the articles that said, oh, victory, it's not going to happen until next year. No, actually, it's going to be happening on the 21st. That's when everything resumes. So that was a bit of bait and switch right there. Once more, tricky dealings by Congress. What can you do? Well, if you're American, you can write to your representative, and indeed you should do that. There are many ways to contact your representative. Go and find out who he is if you don't already know that, or who she is. Go and contact them. Email them, write to them, fax them, call them. Just take 5 minutes of your time in order to express your concerns. Because you know what? If representatives do hear from a significant portion of their constituents, yes, they will actually do something. They will. The fact of the matter is, a lot of these guys are only hearing one side of the argument right now, and that is the lobbyist side of things. They're not hearing from the public opposing it. You have to do so. If you don't have the time, then of course you can just simply sign a petition. There are several petitions on this subject. I've put some in the description below this video. And that's just a nice, easy way of saying, hey, I'm one of these guys. I support this cause. I oppose this bill. If you are outside of the U.S., you can still get involved in letting people know about this bill, as well as signing up to various petitions and just writing your concerns in. There are various sites that allow you to do that. Even if you're not a U.S. citizen, it's like, hey, guys, you are pissing off the world here. This is kind of a big deal. You should probably stop doing that. Now, I've taken up too much of your time already, but just let me make this absolutely clear. You're talking about the destruction of new media as we know it. And apparently you guys like that because you keep watching my videos. You keep watching the videos of many other YouTube partners. We are a small part of your life and hopefully a very enjoyable part of your life as well. And that is a part of your life that could potentially disappear if this bill ends up going through. And don't make any assumptions about this bill. This bill is real. This bill is bad. And this bill is not going to go away unless it is buried in the ground forever. Thank you for listening.
The federal government says it is taking steps to make the internet safer. This week, the Obama administration pressed ahead with plans to create an internet identification system for Americans. Now, the idea is still in the planning stages, but it appears the government wants to set up a system that lets users create a single secure online account. For more now, Declan McCullough joins us from San Francisco. Thanks for being with us, Declan.
Hi there, a pleasure.
Okay, first of all, can you explain exactly how something like this would work?
But we don't know yet because this is kind of the beginning of the beginning. It's still very much in the planning stages. But the idea is to make this online experience a little bit more secure. So maybe merchants, Amazons, and eBays of the world can be a bit more certain that someone who's actually buying something from them is who they say they are. They are not just using a stolen credit card to buy a camera, for instance. At least this is the broad outlines of the plan. The idea is authentication and cybersecurity.
So it's a single secure online account. Would this be mandatory for Americans?
Well, we had a White House official come out here to Stanford on Friday, and he said absolutely not. This was Howard Schmidt, who's their cybersecurity advisor. But the danger is, and this is one reason privacy advocates are a little worried, is that a lot of things start out as being maybe voluntary, and then they become mandatory or could become mandatory. And so it's a different, there's a big difference between having Amazon proposed this versus having the federal government propose this. So
yeah.
There's a bit of privacy danger.
And if it's not mandatory, why would someone want to do this? Because here's my problem, just, you know, listening to the overall, I guess, theory of how this might work. It's a single secure internet access code, if you will. If I lose that, that's access to everything I have, right?
Probably. I mean, again, we don't have the details, but it is or could be the master key, because right now, at least if you use different passwords on different shopping sites and different bank accounts and PayPal sites, if you lose one, your entire online identity is not compromised. But here, if the master key is lost, then someone could impersonate you quite well and run up a lot of credit card charges and, in the worst case scenario, even debit your bank account. So there are some dangers here. It's not necessarily the best thing for security, but there are still a lot of details that we need to know.
No doubt. But the government says this plan, though, is meant to boost security. But some people are concerned that it could be a case of Big Brother. What are privacy advocates saying?
Right. The FBI has actually been saying, I remember FBI Director, then Director Louis Freeh saying at a congressional hearing in the 1990s, we'd like to have some sort of internet driver's license for the internet, or online driver's license for the internet. So this is something that law enforcement has wanted for a while. I mean, think of it. It actually probably makes it easier to solve crimes, but at the cost of privacy and anonymity. I mean, this is what China requires, and I'm not sure, it's fair to say we're going down the same direction, but it is a cautionary tale. We have a strong tradition of anonymous free speech in this country, and having an internet driver's license would go in the opposite direction.
So if it's not a case of Big Brother, what is the government's interest in doing this?
Well, I think that if the Department of Homeland Security were to be running this, then it's probably to advance law enforcement interests, maybe at the cost of privacy. But the White House handed this to the Commerce Department, and I think they really do intend to promote e-commerce to eliminate some of the fraud that really is rampant in some portions of the Internet and make online shopping and the online experience a little bit more secure. Whether it's actually going to do that is an open question. Remember, you have millions of people with their PCs infected by viruses and worms and all sorts of malware. So it doesn't matter how secure the online shopping experience is if your computer is actually being controlled by the Russian mafia.
You know, government officials also say there is no way that a centralized database of all of these users and their information could be breached or could be leaked. Should we believe that?
Well, of course, it's possible. I mean, whether it's likely, it depends on who runs it. It depends on what kind of security mechanisms they use. I remember writing an article, this is the better part of a decade ago, but it's the first one that comes to mind, about how there was a problem with Microsoft's Hotmail service that let you, if you did a very simple trick, that you could log in and see the contents of anyone's account. And so when you have all this information in one spot, when you have all of these accounts linked together, it becomes a very attractive target for thieves, for cyber criminals of all sorts, and maybe even foreign governments. I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad idea, but it could become one depending on the details.
All right. The devil's in the details, as they say.
The Internet is one of the United States' most robust and growing industries. It enables free and open communication among billions, and it's been the backbone of protests around the world. But a new bill proposes to give the power to censor the Internet to the entertainment industry. It's called Protect IP, and here's how it works. Private corporations want the ability to shut down unauthorized sites where people download movies, TV shows, and music. Since most of these sites are outside U.S. jurisdiction, Protect IP uses a couple different tactics within American borders. Firstly, it gives the government the power to make U.S. internet providers block access to infringing domain names. They can also sue U.S.-based search engines, directories, or even blogs and forums to have links to these sites removed. Secondly, Protect IP gives corporations and the government the ability to cut off funds to infringing websites by having U.S.-based advertisers and payment services cancel those accounts. In a nutshell, that's what Protect IP will try to do. But in all likelihood, it'll do something else altogether. For starters, it won't stop downloaders. You'll still be able to access a blocked site just by entering its IP address instead of its name. What Protect IP will do is cripple new startups, because it also lets companies sue any site they feel isn't doing their filtering well enough. These lawsuits could easily bankrupt new search engines and social media sites. And Protect IP's wording is ambiguous enough that important social media sites could become targets. Lots of trailblazing websites could look like piracy havens to the wrong judge. Tumblr, SoundCloud, and early YouTube, wherever people express themselves, make art, broadcast news, or organize protests, there's plenty of TV footage, movie clips, and copyrighted music mixed in. And even if you trust the U.S. government not to abuse their new power to censor the net, what about the countries that follow in our path and pass similar laws? People around the world will have very different internets, and unscrupulous governments will have powerful tools to hinder free expression. But perhaps most dangerously, Protect IP will meddle with the inner workings of the net. Experts believe by fiddling with the web's registry of domain names, the result will be less security and less stability. In short, Protect IP won't stop piracy, but it will introduce vast potential for censorship and abuse while making the web less safe and less reliable. This is the Internet we're talking about. It's a vital and vibrant medium, and our government is tampering with its basic structure so people will maybe buy more Hollywood movies. But Hollywood movies don't get grassroots candidates elected. They don't overthrow corrupt regimes, and the entire entertainment industry doesn't even contribute that much to our economy. The Internet does all these and more. Corporations already have tools to fight piracy. They have the power to take down specific content, to sue peer-to-peer software companies out of existence, and to sue journalists just for talking about how to copy a DVD. They have a history of stretching and abusing their powers. They tried to take a baby video off YouTube just for the music playing in the background. They've used legal penalties written for large-scale commercial piracy to go after families and children. They even sued to ban the VCR and the first MP3 players. So the question is, how far will they take all this? The answer at this point is obvious. As far as we'll let them.
Hey guys, how's it going on whatever day it is today? All right, so if you guys have been following me on Twitter or my own website, you know that I've been updating you guys on this new internet censorship bill. It's been called a few things, the E-Parasite Act, SOPA, the Protect IP Act, whatever it is internet censorship. And also, if you guys have been following my updates, you know that I am adamantly against this thing. All right, so the government says they want to push this through Congress because they're trying to crack down on internet piracy. Yeah, if only copywriting wasn't a federal offense before. Oh wait, look at that, it is. So I don't get the point of this new bill. But beyond all the bullshit excuses, I think I know why they want to pass it. Basically, the scariest thing about this new bill is it says if someone uploads copyrighted material to a website, it is a federal crime. You are a criminal now. And the website that it gets uploaded to is now taken down. Which then leads to think, holy shit, the fall of Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Now, I know the argument is, and people have said this to me before, is that YouTube isn't responsible for the content uploaded, they're just the host. Agreed, but that's not what the bill says. The bill says that if copyrighted material is uploaded onto a website, the owner and host of that website is legally responsible. And there is so much new content that's uploaded onto YouTube on a daily basis, there is no way that Google will be able to catch everything. It's a very community-based network. People find infringed material, they flag it, and then YouTube investigates it, and they say, oh yeah, it is, or no, it's not. But under the scrutiny of this new bill, which they want to make a law, the government could just be like, oh no, that's copyrighted material, you're out, that website, down. And that's done, it's the government. Done. The reason it's worrisome is because I've had a copyright infringement case put against me. There was a studio that opened one against me for reasons I have yet to know. Now, I fought it on YouTube and it was taken away because, you know, I wasn't in the wrong. But under this new bill, they could just open the copyright infringement case against me, the government, bam, wipes out my channel and wipes out YouTube, and they can blacklist my name. You Google Jeremy Johns, can't find me. Yep, everything gets wiped out before you can even prove your case. Guilty until proven innocent. Oh, and I'm being tried as a criminal now. Awesome. I mean, think of it. How many bootleg versions of the Avengers trailer did you see online this year? Yeah, a lot. YouTube would be gone. And how many, like, music videos have you seen where people cut together trailers with music in the background? Yep, YouTube, gone. That was uploaded on Facebook, too? Well, that's gone now, too. Oh, someone uploaded something on Twitter. That's gone, too. And I think that's the problem. Because if you look at the supporters of this new bill, it's all really big Hollywood studios. Screen Actors Guild, Screen Writers Guild. The opposers are all online-based. You have this tug of war between people's attention spans. You've always had that. I mean, you look at it. Less people are going to movies. Why? Because people are being entertained online. You can go on YouTube. You can find stand-up comedy, entertainment, reviews. And if people are watching that, they're not paying $10 a ticket to see a mediocre movie. And I think that's what this thing's all about. I think this bill was written by a bunch of old-ass bureaucrats who want to go back to the time before VCRs. I say before VCRs because when the VCR was coming out, big Hollywood studios wanted to fight that too because they could record tapes. The internet is community-based, and people have a larger voice than they've ever had before in the history of mankind. That sounds pretty big for me to say, but honestly, if you think about it, it's true. You have an opinion on something, you can get it out there. The internet gives people power, and as long as people have power, big corporations and politicians, they have less power. And they don't like that. I think this bill is nothing but a control ploy. It's the government trying to maintain control of the people. If the government takes away these networking sites, then we don't have a say. In reality, the internet lets people pursue what America itself is actually based on. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You can pursue your goals online. You can actually open a business and operate it online. Social networking sites like YouTube and Facebook, they are important and they're integral in maintaining that. You take those away and it just hurts us, the common people. Big businesses, big studios, big corporations, politicians, they don't care. So they're going to use the power that they do have to blot us out. Bigger companies that operate online could just blot out little companies that are trying to start up. It's like, oh, I don't like them. Boom, copyright infringement case. They're gone. I don't don't like them either. Bam, 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 they're gone. It's just absolutely tilted against anyone who's going to try to start up anything online, and it's unfair. And that's the thing, and here is a reality check. These people, these representatives in Washington, they are your representatives. They're supposed to represent you and us, the people, which is not happening because I have not run into one human being that actually wants this bill to pass, yet they are pushing for it to pass. It's selfish, and it only serves them. Online networking sites, YouTube, the internet is responsible for a lot of revenue circulation. You want to help the economy? Just stay out of the internet, government. It makes more money for the people than the Hollywood studios going to. Oh no, but in this economy, we got to silence and wipe out a main revenue stream for the American people and people of the world. Makes no sense. And if you're in another country and you're like, I'm not American, this doesn't affect me. It's the World Wide Web, dude. It affects you. It just does. It sucks, but it does. Like I actually said in the letter to my congressman, this bill is like burning down your house because you have an ant problem. Yeah, I actually wrote my congressman. I put links below to petitions you can sign that are being sent off to congressmen right now. I put a link below where you can actually write your congressman personally if you want a personal touch on it. Sign those things. Get them out there. Just blot this thing out of existence. On my website, www.jeremyjohns.com, I'll keep you guys updated and I'll post things on my Twitter as to how this whole fight is going. I mean, it disturbs me that this bill was even thought of, let alone has gotten this far to where the government wants to pass it. But if it passes, yeah, help us all. As V from V for Vendetta once said, people should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people. They have clearly lost sight of that. You know that because they want to pass a bill that helps big studios because, well, big studios probably help them get reelected. So go to the links below, let them know that this is bullshit, and they have to listen to you. Because in reality, this little bill is going to go about as far as we let it. So let's just not let it.
Welcome to Media Minute. I'm Stevie Converse.
And I'm Candace Clement.
And I'm Megan Tatey.
TV news programs are not reporting on controversial legislation that would make it legal to shut down websites suspected of copyright infringement. Late last week, Media Matters for America published a report showing that since the beginning of October, when opposition to the bill kicked into high gear, the major nightly newscasts have almost completely ignored the House bill called the Stop Online Piracy Act and its sister bill in the Senate, the Protect IP Act. Only CNN has mentioned the legislation that experts say could end the Internet as we know it. Josh Levy of Free Press.
Besides that one mention, none of the nightly news shows had even referred to the enormous uprising that had occurred on the Internet, the notable members of Congress who had come out in opposition to both bills, and the tech companies like Google, eBay, Yahoo, and others who have come out strongly against both bills.
The news companies themselves, ABC, CBS, Fox News, MSNBC, and NBC, or their parent companies, have all come out in favor of SOPA and PIPA.
The fact that they both favor those bills and they're failing to cover opposition to those bills, which has become a story unto itself, to us is a massive failure of the news to cover what's probably one of the biggest tech stories of the year.
Mainstream print and online journalism outlets have started writing about the issue in the last couple of weeks. The New York Times, The Washington Post, Forbes, and others have published substantive articles on the bill's negative impact on the public. Support for the bills in Congress is coming from both sides of the aisle. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has promised that PIPA will be the first item on his agenda when the Senate returns from its recess on January 23rd. But opposition is coming from both sides as well.
You're seeing concerted opposition from conservatives like Rand Paul, like Daryl Issa, like Michelle Bachmann. And you're seeing opposition from Democrats like Ron Wyden and Maria Cantwell. And what I think this demonstrates is that those who are willing to shrug aside the corporate interests of Hollywood and the recording industry are able to see these bills for what they are, which would introduce heavy-handed tactics like those we see in China in an effort to stamp out online piracy that by all accounts would not be successful anyway, but would entail collateral damage that would take most internet users down.
For more information on SOPA and PIPA, go to SaveTheInternet.com.
The residents of California's eastern Coachella Valley finally have reporters they can rely on. Youth journalists. Cast in the shadow of affluent Palm Springs, this primarily Latino community has long been overlooked by the mainstream media. But now a youth media startup called Coachella Unincorporated has stepped in and is producing hard-hitting and investigative media. The project is funded by a grant from the Building Healthy Communities Initiative of the California Endowment and is operated by New America Media. 12 young journalists, ranging from high school to college age, make up a reporting team determined to make change in the Valley. Tony Aguilar, 21, grew up in the Valley and is pursuing journalism in college. He saw a flyer about the media startup, applied for a reporting position, and is now working on a story about Coachella's underground economy.
I'm taking the angle of those individuals that are hitting up the recycling business. Where I live in the Eastern Coachella Valley, there's not one street that you don't see someone riding their bicycle and collecting aluminum cans on the side of the road. So as the global economy is still in such a dire position, more and more individuals are finding alternative methods of a paycheck. So I'm trying to find individuals who are resorting to recycling to get that little extra cash in their pocket.
Gloria Rodriguez is co-coordinator of Coachella Unincorporated and says the young journalists who are paid for their stories go through a rigorous training and editing process. The site is committed to producing quality journalism.
We sometimes are pretty, you know, tough on them in terms of their reporting and their writing because we want to make sure that they understand that there's a difference between first-hand account versus a real news article that's well-researched and quoted and written well.
Because of its intrepid reporting, local news outlets have begun asking the startup for story ideas. Subjects of recent articles include multi-generational families living under one roof and Iraq vets returning from war. Aguilar says the site has had a profound impact on the community.
I think we're finally giving the Eastern Coachella Valley a voice. For so long, we haven't been represented in a positive light. A bunch of positive things are going on and stories that have never been told, and we're shedding positive light on the Eastern Coachella Valley for the first time in a very long time.
Learn more about the project at CoachellaUnincorporated.org and discover New America Media's other youth-led outlets at newamericamedia.org.
You've been listening to Media Minutes, a production of Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization working to reform the media. For more information, visit freepress.net.
So the talk on the CES floor today is televisions, but one of the coolest televisions that we've seen is with Vizio. Jamie, with Vizio, is joining us. Tell us about your new product out here.
This right here is Vizio Internet Apps. It's our connected TV. It allows you to view widgets, so streaming movies, accessing music, do your Facebook, send tweets while you're there, check your Facebook, you know, see what's going on. We have the 72-inch right here, the 55-inch. They're also the highest-end technologies. It basically brings the best of the Internet to your TV, so you don't have to work off of your computer. You can do it all right there as you're watching.
So no more hooking my laptop up to the screen anymore, huh?
No hooking up. You can have the movies and high-def content from one of our great widgets is Vudu. You can have all of that, and you press a button, you buy it and rent a movie, and it's streaming right there to your TV.
When are we going to see this in the stores?
It's starting to roll out right now. I don't know the exact time, but you should see it here shortly.
Where can folks find this product line at?
We Vizio TVs are carried at Costco, Walmart, Target, Dell.com. I mean, we have great channel partners, so you can find them pretty much anywhere.
And show us a little bit about what the TV can do.
So right here you're looking at the Yahoo News demo. I'm going to go ahead and start. You have one-touch access, launches your dock. Go ahead and check out Facebook. So as you can see, I'm logged into Facebook at Vizio Marcom Gal. I just did a post. You go ahead. You're still watching TV. You're viewing your various widgets. If I want to go into my Facebook account, I just launch it. I'm still able to watch my programming while the sidebar comes up. I can see the latest news feeds. If I want, sorry, I have to press enter. If I want, I can actually go ahead and, you know, send an update. I can view my friends. I mean, it's really bringing that Facebook and all of, you know, that great internet connectivity straight to your computer or to your TV.
And there's interactivity with Twitter as well.
Exactly. Twitter is going over there. You can't really see it. Our demo for Twitter is set up over there. But, yeah, you can sit there and send tweets. I mean, then we have the keypad.
Yeah, tell us a little about the keypad here.
It's the Vizio, the Internet Apps keypad. It has a slide-out QWERTY keypad. Slides out, so you have your basic remote control, which is Bluetooth, so you don't have to point it at the TV anymore. Then to send a tweet, if you're looking for a movie and you don't want to scroll through the list, you don't have to hunt and peck type. You have your QWERTY keypad. So, and Vizio is the only one to have this type of a keypad right now or this type of remote control. So it's really a big, you know, differentiator from us and the competitors.
So you don't want me to, so I shouldn't lose this a remote by any means.
You shouldn't lose the remote, no.
So the new Google TV rolled out at CES, and let me just say the revamped sleek interface looks pretty awesome. You can do web browsing. There's apps, a YouTube application. You can stream TV, music, movies. And I think they got it really down this time around. It did get flack for the first edition, but now I think they fine-tuned it, and I'd definitely be happy to have Google TV in my house. And it looks pretty fun and easy to navigate, and, again, another sleek and simple interface from Google TV. So this is a pretty crazy thing. I just thought it was outlandish and unorthodox product. It's the 3D View iPhone device by GoPano. Basically, it's a little device that goes on top of your iPhone, and you can spin it, and it shows a 360-degree view with your camera. And it looks awesome. I definitely use this just to be, you know, vlogging or capturing video with it. I don't know how much it's going to be retailing for, but it does look pretty cool. And that's why I like CES, because you get these products that you've never seen before, and they look amazing. So another thing I want to talk about that was unveiled at CES was the Toshiba Excite X10. It's a 10-inch premium tablet. It has a mini SD, a mini USB, and a mini HDMI input. There's a software for it that can control certain TVs from Toshiba. It's right now it's running Honeycomb, but they want to have it running of the Ice Cream Sandwich when it releases later this year. I got to tell you, I saw the covers and photos of it. It looks really sleek, really sexy. The interface is awesome right now, but it's probably going to be even way cooler when it's running Ice Cream Sandwich. Another product was the Thermador Stovetop. This was straight out of a science fiction movie. Basically, it's a smart stovetop. You can put your pots and pans in. It actually senses where the pots and pans are, shows the degrees, and has LED light up. It's pretty awesome. I like seeing new technology that revolves around the kitchen. And no, I don't cook, but this would probably make me want to cook, because my stove has an interface, which is pretty awesome. Definitely check that out. The next thing I want to talk about is the Roku streaming stick. It's just the same as a Roku box, but it's a streaming stick. It has a special HTML input. It's called the MHL, which is mobile high def link. Most TVs don't have it, but they're going to be pushing it out later in later models. So, you know, it's going to be able to stream movies, applications, search the web. It's basically the Roku box, but a little micro, it looks like a little thumb drive, and that's pretty awesome. The next thing I want to talk about is the Samsung Galaxy Note. This thing is a 5.3-inch, 8-megapixel camera, 16 gig, 5x5 grid for your applications, and a high-resolution screen. It looks pretty awesome and pretty vivid from the pictures and videos I've seen. It fits in your pocket. It's pretty big, but it's pretty nice. So check out the Samsung Galaxy Note. Pretty cool stuff. Oh, the coolest thing, not the coolest thing, but the coolest thermometer out, thermostat, I'm sorry, is by Nest. Now, this thing is cool. It's a digital, thermostat. It's wireless. I believe it runs on Wi-Fi. It's the newest version of the Nest. It has a LED display, so it shows you what the temperature is like in your house. It's actually compatible with an iPhone app. You can tweak the settings and all that stuff. And I believe it has a humidifier sensor in it, so it can activate the fan in the summer. It also can develops this recognition for your lifestyle, and it knows what your average temperatures are, and it actually knows when you leave the house, so it can turn off air conditioning or heater, and then it'll sense motion when you come back, so it'll allow it to reboot, and which is pretty cool. So this product is always learning from your activities using the thermostat, and I think this is the future of thermostats, and it's pretty awesome. And it definitely beats the old thermostat that you're always trying to figure out how to use. And this thing makes it simple, sleek, and it's actually intuitive. Great interface, and will save you money.
Thank you very much. Next product. Let's go to the area and focus on Windows PCs. So things are changing quite rapidly, and you guys, we have some tough competition.
Nothing better.
Let's talk about
than
it.
Good competition. Nothing better than good competition. It's a great thing, and I'm glad we've got Windows. Windows has been phenomenal. The product, the technology, the market acceptance, the brand, and in a sense, one of the most amazing phenomena in our business, whether you go back to that first CES keynote or further back, has been the way that the Windows PC has constantly changed and reinvented and moved forward and spurred other technology innovations. Today, over 1.3 billion Windows PCs are in use around the planet, and that makes it the most popular smart device around.
It's an incredible number. But things have changed, right?
Of course. Things change. That's the essence of this industry. In some senses, maybe the only two things that are constant. Number one, things change. And number two, people don't want to compromise on what they have today. They want the best of what they have and the best of what they want. You know, nobody wanted to give up anything they had on their desktop, for example, when the world moved to notebook.
Right.
It's a wonderful thing. The Windows PCs evolved. It was a programming machine. It was a productivity machine, a music machine, a video machine, an internet machine. But we don't give up anything as we keep moving down that path. And really, with Windows 8, we've reimagined Windows all the way from the chipset through to the user experience. And it'll deliver a no-compromise experience, the best of the PC and the best of the tablet. We kicked that off last year at CES, and we're even more excited this year.
Hard at work. And I know we're about to see a really cool demo of Windows 8, but before that, tell me about the Windows 7 hardware that's available now.
Yeah, there's a really impressive lineup of machines available from our OEM partners.
Right.
The spectrum of form factors is stunning. Intel's done a lot of work, very good work, making PCs smaller, sleeker, more power efficient, longer battery life. Really, really good work. And if you'll indulge me, maybe before Tammy Reller comes out and shows us a little Windows 8, I'd like to show you a little video that's got some of my favorite thin and light Windows 7 PCs that are either available now or coming real soon. So maybe I'll
roll it.
Where I live in the chick ear. is pivot here. Let me make that clear. Where I live in a chick here. Where I live in a chick here. Why I live in a chick ear. Don't talk much, so when I do it's by business. All you gotta do is show me that you win. If you got get up and go, you can join the team. You in the presence of a king, don't need to kiss the ring. See, I control the honey and manage all the money. You better not go all the way for less than a hundred. Baby girl, you need some guidance in your life. Good thing I comb hair, I can get you back right. Swag up a Mac, you can tell by the strut. It's something about my combo to drive a chick nuts. Make her wanna copy me, shout with me and keep me company. Blame it on Big Bruh, yeah, pimping in the family tree. Never been a lame and done had my play broke too. It's a part of the game, things you have to go through. Lose one, gain two, give three away. I live in a chick here, it's all I gotta say. It's sitting here, let me make that clear. Where I live in a chick here. Where I live in a chick here. Where I live in a chick here. It's pimping here, let me make that clear. Where I live in a chick here. Where I live in a chick here. Where I live in a chick here.
You wanna leave, go on and leave. You a problem and a bill that a nigga don't need. Ain't no we, bitch, you don't belong to me. You be crying on the phone like it's only me. You wanna get paid, I'm trying to bone for free. I'm a pimp, you ain't gonna hear no love songs from me. Don't suck a dick, bitch, bring the bones to me. Pimping in your ear on the phone with me. If you don't handcuff your bitch, she coming home with me. Pimping ain't dead, if y'all niggas could only see. Pussy is dope, they both on the street. Middleman getting paid when they both meet. Put her on the track, make her work those feet. Stay in her ear, bring it home to me. Checking hoes and tricky tricks, it's home to me. Pimping on wax is more than a song to me.
It's pimping here, let me make that clip. Where I live in a chick here. Where I live in a chick here. Where I live in a chick here. It's pimping here, let me make that clip. Where I live in a chick here. Where I live in a chick here. Where I live in a chick here.
Yo, real talk, you know what it is. Yo, that's my man, King Diggity. Real talk, the joint is called, yo.
You always whisper,
real talk, this is where they do to that radio. Where we featuring these local artists that are doing their thing, holding it down, the whole swing. You know what I'm saying? The time is 10:48 Eastern Standard Time. You're definitely on the grind on where they do to that radio. Get your mind right. You already know what it is. The number's 347-934-0318. All you got to do is press 1. On the dial, man. Check it out.
See what they waiting on is hot grade. See what they waiting on is hot grade. See what they talking about is hot grade. See what they talking about is hot grade. See what the streets need is hot grade. What the streets need is hot grade. See what they ain't got is hot grade. See what they ain't got is hot grade.
Yeah. Your dirty money, like my cash ain't beige. Dominating the paint, so Dwayne Wade. And this is draft day, wait your turn. The first pick is jig by David Stern. We buy, place to burn, you late, you learn. Hairdresser with the guns, all the fake get perm. That means straight and die. So chill like a cold drink. I do me, never worry what the host think. If I did, I would never get ahead of shit. So smooth, call it effortless, elegant. Anything less than selling quick, I'm telling it's not making sense. Like bitches selling it for celibate. Irony, best describe that. Cutting niggas in line because I'm sick of waiting. I be fine, I'ma shine in due time. I don't even need my legs, I can climb with my mind. Guns got bodies on it, call them fumbles. Niggas on the block, we
call them Matumbos, no Rumbos. We gun toting bust those who cut those and never pay for pussy. What the hell, dumb hoe?
We don't do that. We don't.
Y'all ass back. Check this out.
Motherfucking yellow thing. The scoop a stupid nigga up to try to step with the what? The fuck took a fuck to his fucking gut and got a bullet behind the ear. Yeah, cause it won't be one bit of the bullshit they gon' fear happening over here. But motherfuckers better ease up and freeze up, cause he's up another kid nigga. Fuck putting that nigga on his back. I leave a nigga face down on his stomach, taking the motherfucking ass. Mac bullets fly when niggas wanna be wild guys. They die with open eyes for catching the ultimate fucking surprise. If you don't get the bitch, bitch, come get with this, cause I'm a nigga that keeps the motherfucking funeral home for this. So don't get caught up in the mix. Your transvestite, bitch ass nigga, use a chick with a fucking dick. My fucking name speaks for itself. Nigga fucking with Coogee rap is bad for your motherfucking health. I'm bringing it.
Y'all know what it is.
I bet they knew as soon as they saw me.
You better ride
with it.
You better vibe with it.
Streets like cold Chicago.
Legion of Legends.
They knew us in it all alone. But still a call like no tomorrow.
Real
talk. Tonight is over with it. All she wrote. All she wrote. All she wrote. I said it's over with it. All she wrote. All she wrote. All she wrote.
Tonight is over with, that's all she wrote. You know they say that time is money. I'm a hustler, go get her regardless. I will rob and then I do it for my kids. My family, so we eat.
Right.
Get it, fuck starving, they gon' make me take it to the street life. I'm going through hard times, my life is burning like a candle.
Uh-huh.
In the Bible say that God will put too much that you can handle. They say the word can hear me, I think the world feared me. My vision kind of blurred, but I can see him seeing clearly. Coach put me in the game, fuck all this, it's clutch time. Squad up and spellbound, I'm hooked up, what's up now? Raising, pacing myself, look, I'm staying humble. I don't care what you call me, because my money growing bundles. They knew when they saw me, then they were thinking less of me. They knew when they heard me that I was hot as Texas Pete. I ain't talking hot sauce, but whenever it pop off, I hope I don't get knocked off, because they know I'm not soft. Stressing to get my rocks off.
I don't really care what you call me,
just
as long as you don't call me bro. I bet they knew as soon as they saw me. Night is over with, that's all she wrote. Streets like cold Chicago. Ain't nothing new, I've seen it all before. But still a hard night, no tomorrow. Good night is over with,
it's
all she
wrong. Like the common denominator that's in the sport. Wrong cause I'm pushing the limits from what you saw before. Pounds like the TiVo when you see the bald eagle. With the talents all around me and I'm smiling at the people. See you balling by a car, well, mine are all in assets. So many back royalties I ain't cashed yet. Dollars into euros, turn euros into shillings. Buy some land in the desert, you like what the fuck he building. And they say it's all she wrote, but I'm reading her Hippocrafor. More popular than Pharaoh and the arrow in Achilles. Necessarily, you see me as a man and not a myth. But my words are forever legendary. I exist. Aim higher than your holy empire. I am sick. Iron 3730, aiming to win. I don't miss. I am doing it because everybody ruined it. Pursuing it, I give it all away and walk the circle like I ain't worried about the fucking money.
I don't really care what you call me. You can even call me cold. You bring the blue soon as they saw me. Never meet a bitch of prison to know. I roll like a desperado. Now I'll never know where I'm gonna go. Till I'm all it for till tomorrow. Until it's over and it's all she wrote.
Y'all know what it is. Like we've been hearing this saying over and over, time and time again. Real talk for all the artists that's out there. 22 million listen to us live. You already know how we doing it. Real talk worldwide. You can hit us up at where they do that at radio.com. That is WTDTARadio.com. Check out the website. Real talk is definitely radio. It's getting ready to go down. Yo, real talk, you know what I'm saying? Yo, the president's in the building tonight. He's doing the State of the Union address. We're going to check him out shortly. Real talk, you already know what it is. You know how we get down. But I'm going to get ready to go request mine in just a second. Let's see what's up. See what's happening. Let's see where you're doing it at, man. So real talk, let's get in. We'll move it in. Let's hold it down like four flat tires. You know what you got to do. Hey, ride it and vibe with me. Let's get it.
Get yours. Drop the drawers. It's all day, every day with this rap souffle. Muzak to break your back.
That's my girl Rihanna. Real talk on where they do that at radio. We're featuring these local artists that are spitting the flame to national artists that are changing.
If you think you're lonely now, wait until tonight. Cause I'm standing up.
Oh, man.
If you think you're lonely now,
it's going down tonight, baby.
Waiting,
I'm waiting on you to come, baby, I'm that man. Bedroom superhero, naked, I'm Batman. I kill it, then I give you mouth-to-mouth CPR. Bring you back to life, climax, start the afterlife. Bounce up and down on my love, this is chronic. Have it how you want it, my back shot bionic. You're giving me something I can feel like info. Unload and reload, recharge, I'm back home. Fucking up the strength and the craftmatic. That rabbit addiction, I don't wanna break that habit. Yeah. Your boy Toy Man Chal, it's cool, you can play with
what
me. City light, bright light, tonight you can stay with me. I wanna share thoughts, let's talk, go for a walk. Fantasies, we can get loose right in the park. Bullseye, right through her head to her heart. It's mental and physical, when you're gone, I'll be missing you. You gon' get it, you gon' get it, I got a plan for you.
I got it all planned out, girl.
Girl, it's on the Lamone, and when you come through, I can't think of a thing that I won't do.
What you won't do?
When you come and I get my hands on you. Wait till I get you, girl. I'm Curtis Mayfield, Marvin, the new Bobby Womack. 2012 freak shit, baby, I'm all at the touching and the teasing. The pleasure's the reason. I'm sure she'll be open from the licking and stroking. Or how I see a line that stimulates her mind. My sense of humor make her smile while passing time. It's sexual, it's not perverted or obscene. The foreplay we play until I touch her and she cream. Cash rules, be sure that she's something out of dream. Half J-Lo, half Jessica Biel, she in between. Got the island girl swag, she got to wine.
Well,
when we get back to the spot, that is
nice and fresh and clean. It's kind of a win-win. A cute little miracle in a can for me.
I believe I'm supposed to present this to you.
Vice President, members of Congress, distinguished guests, and fellow Americans. Tonight I want to begin by congratulating the men and women of the 112th Congress, as well as your new Speaker, John Boehner. And as we mark this occasion, we're also mindful of the empty chair in this chamber. We pray for the health of our colleague and our friend, Gabby Giffords.
I got a moan and take.
Gave us pause. Amid all the noise and passion and rancor of our public debate, Tucson reminded us that no matter who we are or where we come from, each of us is a part of something greater, something more consequential than party or political preference. We are part of the American family. We believe that in a country where every race and faith and point of view can be found, we are still bound together as one people, that we share common hopes and a common creed, that the dreams of a little girl in Tucson are not so different than those of our own children, that they all deserve the chance to be fulfilled. That too is what sets us apart.
We hoopin' out of hoes, wanna guard. Okay, so play deep, know what I mean, and I put you on a team, and it's like it's but a dream, and I need a fast car, bad cross, fast forward, pass call. I'm a fucking rap star. Hey, where you going?
Won't usher in the new era of cooperation. What comes of this moment is up to us. What comes of this moment will be determined not by whether we can sit together tonight, but whether we can work together tomorrow.
Hello, boys and girls. Today you will hear the first in a group of lessons that will help you to learn about vowel letters and their sound.
I believe we can, and I believe we must. That's what the people who sent us here expect of us. With their votes, they've determined that governing will now be a shared responsibility between parties. New laws will only pass with support from Democrats and Republicans. We will move forward together, or not at all. The challenges we face are bigger than parties, bigger than politics. The stake right now is not who wins the next election. After all, we just had an election. The stake is whether new jobs and industries take root in this country or somewhere else. Whether the hard work and industry of our people is rewarded. It's whether we sustain the leadership that has made America not just a place on a map, but the light of the world. We are poised for progress. 2 years after the worst recession most of us have ever known, stock market has come roaring back. Corporate profits are up. The economy is growing again. But we have never measured progress by these yardsticks alone. We measure progress by the success of our people, by the jobs they can find, the quality of life those jobs offer, by the prospects of a small business owner who dreams of turning a good idea into a thriving enterprise, by the opportunities for a better life we pass on to our children. That's the project the American people want us to work on. Together. Now, we did that in December. Thanks to the tax cuts we passed, Americans' paychecks are a little bigger today. Every business can write off the full cost of new investments that they make this year. These steps, taken by Democrats and Republicans, will grow the economy and add to the more than 1 million private sector jobs created last year. But we have to do more. These steps we've taken over the last 2 years may have broken the back of this recession, but to win the future, we'll need to take on challenges that have been decades in the making. With the gifts they were given. Many people watching tonight can probably remember a time when finding a good job meant showing up at a nearby factory. attempts. You didn't always need a degree. The competition was pretty much limited to your neighbors. If you worked hard, chances are you'd have a job for life with a decent paycheck, good benefits, and the occasional promotion. Maybe you'd even have the pride of seeing your kids work at the same company.
I was one.
That world has changed. For many, the change has been painful. I've seen it in the shuttered windows of once booming factories, in the vacant storefronts of once busy main streets. I've heard it in the frustrations of Americans who've seen their paychecks dwindle or their jobs disappear. Proud men and women who feel like the rules have been changed in the middle of the game. They're right. The rules have changed. In a single generation, revolutions in technology have transformed the way we live, work, and do business. Steel mills that once needed 1,000 workers can now do the same work with 100. Today, just about any company can set up shop, hire workers, and sell their products wherever there's an internet connection. Meanwhile, nations like China and India realized that with some changes of their own, they could compete in this new world. So they started educating their children earlier and longer, with greater emphasis on math and science. They're investing in research and new technologies. Just recently, China became the home to the world's largest private solar research facility and the world's fastest computer. So yes, the world is changing. The competition for jobs is real. But this shouldn't discourage us. It should challenge us. Remember, for all the hits we've taken these last few years, for all the naysayers predicting our decline, America still has the largest, most prosperous economy in the world. No workers are more productive than ours. No country has more successful companies or grants more patents to inventors and entrepreneurs. We're the home to the world's best colleges and universities, where more students come to study than any place on earth. What's more, we are the first nation to be founded for the sake of an idea. The idea that each of us deserves the chance to shape our own destiny. That's why centuries of pioneers and immigrants have risked everything to come here. That's why our students don't just memorize equations, but answer questions like, what do you think of that idea?
But I can't help myself, you make me act a fool.
What do you want to be when you grow up? The future is ours to win. To get there, we can't just stand still. As Robert Kennedy told us, the future is not a gift. It is an achievement. Sustaining the American dream has never been about standing pat. It has required each generation to sacrifice and struggle to meet the demands of a new age. And now it's our turn. We know what it takes to compete for the jobs and industries of our time. We need to out-innovate, out-educate, and out-build the rest of the world. We have to make America the best place on earth to do business. We need to take responsibility for our deficit and reform our government. That's how our people will prosper. That's how we'll win the future. Tonight I'd like to talk about how we get there. First step in winning the future is encouraging American innovation. None of us can predict with certainty what the next big industry will be or where the new jobs will come from. 30 years ago, we couldn't know that something called the internet would lead to an economic revolution. What we can do, what America does better than anyone else, arts to spark the creativity and imagination of our people. We're the nation that put cars in driveways and computers in offices. The nation of Edison and the Wright brothers, of Google and Facebook. In America, innovation doesn't just change our lives, it is how we make our living. Our free enterprise system is what drives innovation. But because it's not always profitable for companies to invest in basic research, throughout our history, our government has provided cutting-edge scientists and inventors with the support that they need. That's what planted the seeds for the internet. That's what helped make possible things like computer chips and GPS. Just think of all the good jobs, from manufacturing to retail, that have come from these breakthroughs. Half a century ago, when the Soviets beat us into space with the launch of a satellite called Sputnik, we had no idea how we would beat them to the moon. The science wasn't even there yet. NASA didn't exist. But after investing in better research and education, we didn't just surpass the Soviets. We unleashed a wave of innovation that created new industries and millions of new jobs. This is our generation's Sputnik moment. 2 years ago, I said that we needed to reach a level of research and development we haven't seen since the height of the space race. And in a few weeks, I will be sending a budget to Congress that helps us meet that goal. We'll invest in biomedical research, information technology, and especially clean energy technology. An investment that will strengthen our security, protect our planet, and create countless new jobs for our people. Already we're seeing the promise of renewable energy. Robert and Gary Allen are brothers who run a small Michigan roofing company. After September 11th, they volunteered their best roofers to help repair the Pentagon. But half of their factory went unused, and the recession hit them hard. Today, with the help of a government loan, that empty space is being used to manufacture solar shingles that are being sold all across the country. In Robert's words, we reinvented ourselves. That's what Americans have done for over 200 years. Reinvented ourselves. And to spur on more success stories like the Allen brothers, we've begun to reinvent our energy policy. We're not just handing out money. We're issuing a challenge. We're telling America's scientists and engineers that if they assemble teams of the best minds in their fields and focus on the hardest problems in clean energy, we'll fund the Apollo projects of our time. At the California Institute of Technology, they're developing a way to turn sunlight and water into fuel for our cars. At Oak Ridge National Laboratory, they're using supercomputers to get a lot more power out of our nuclear facilities. With more research and incentives, we can break our dependence on oil with biofuels and become the first country to have 1 million electric vehicles on the road by 2050. We need to get behind this innovation. And to help pay for it, I'm asking Congress to eliminate the billions in taxpayer dollars we currently give to oil companies. I don't know if you've noticed, but they're doing just fine on their own. So instead of subsidizing yesterday's energy, let's invest in tomorrow's. Now, clean energy breakthroughs will only translate into clean energy jobs if businesses know there will be a market for what they're selling. So tonight, I challenge you to join me in setting a new goal. By 2035, 80% of America's electricity will come from clean energy sources. Some folks want wind and solar. Others want nuclear, clean coal, and natural gas. To meet this goal, we will need them all. And I urge Democrats and Republicans to work together to make it happen. Maintaining our leadership in research and technology is crucial to America's success. But if we want to win the future, if we want innovation to produce jobs in America, not overseas, then we also have to win the race to educate our kids. Think about it. Over the next 10 years, nearly half of all new jobs will require education that goes beyond a high school education. And yet, as many as a quarter of our students aren't even finishing high school. The quality of our math and science education lags behind many other nations. America's fallen ninth in the proportion of young people with a college degree. So the question is whether all of us, as citizens and as parents, are willing to do what's necessary to give every child a chance to succeed. That responsibility begins not in our classrooms, but in our homes and communities. It's family that first instills the love of learning in a child. Only parents can make sure the TV is turned off and homework gets done. We need to teach our kids that it's not just the winner of the Super Bowl who deserves to be celebrated, but the winner of the science fair. Teach them that success is not a function of fame or PR, but of hard work and discipline. Our schools share this responsibility. When a child walks into a classroom, it should be a place of high expectations and high performance. But too many schools don't meet this test. That's why instead of just pouring money into a system that's not working, we launched a competition called Race to the Top. To all 50 states, we said, if you show us the most innovative plans to improve teacher quality and student achievement, we'll show you the money. Race to the Top is the most meaningful reform of our public schools in a generation. For less than 1% of what we spend on education each year, it has led over 40 states to raise their standards for teaching and learning. And these standards were developed, by the way, not by Washington, but by Republican and Democratic governors throughout the country. And Race to the Top should be the approach we follow this year as we replace No Child Left Behind with a law that's more flexible and focused on what's best for our kids. You see, we know what's possible from our children. When reform isn't just a top-down mandate, but the work of local teachers, principals, school boards, and communities. Take a school like Bruce Randolph in Denver. 3 years ago, it was rated one of the worst schools in Colorado, located on turf between two rival gangs. But last May, 97% of the seniors received their diploma. Most will be the first in their families to go to college. And after the first year of the school's transformation, the principal who made it possible wiped away tears when a student said, "Thank you, Miss Waters, for showing that we are smart and we can make it." That's what good schools can do. And we want good schools all across the country. Let's also remember that after parents, the biggest impact on a child's success comes from the man or woman at the front of the classroom. In South Korea, teachers are known as nation builders. Here in America, it's time we treated the people who educate our children with the same level of respect. Thank you. want to reward good teachers and stop making excuses for bad ones. And over the next 10 years, with so many baby boomers retiring from our classrooms, we want to prepare 100,000 new teachers in the fields of science and technology and engineering and math. In fact, every young person listening tonight who's contemplating their career choice, if you want to make a difference in the life of our nation, if you want to make a difference in the life of a child, become a teacher. Your country needs you. Of course, the education race doesn't end with a high school diploma. To compete, higher education must be within the reach of every American. That's why we've ended the unwarranted taxpayer subsidies that went to banks and used the savings to make college affordable for millions of students. And this year, I asked Congress to go further and make permanent our tuition tax credit worth $10,000 for 4 years of college. It's the right thing to do. Because people need to be able to train for new jobs and careers in today's fast-changing economy. We're also revitalizing America's community colleges. Last month, I saw the promise of these schools in Forsyth, Texas, and North Carolina. Many of the students there used to work in the surrounding factories that have since let us down. One mother of two, a woman named Kathy Crock, had worked in the furniture industry since she was 18 years old. She told me she's earning her degree in biotechnology now at 55 years old. Not just because the furniture jobs are gone, but because she wants to inspire her children to pursue their dreams too. As Kathy said, I hope it tells them to never give up. If we take these steps, if we raise expectations for every child and give them the best possible chance in education from the day they are born until the last job they take, we will reach the goal that I set 2 years ago. By the end of the decade, America will once again have the highest proportion of college graduates in the world. One last point about education. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of students excelling in our schools who are not American citizens. Some are the children of undocumented workers who had nothing to do with the actions of their parents. They grew up as Americans and pledge allegiance to our flag, and yet they live every day with the threat of deportation. Others come here in our colleges and universities, but as soon as they obtain advanced degrees, we send them back home to compete against us. It makes no sense. Now, I strongly believe that we should take on once and for all the issue of illegal immigration. I am prepared to work with Republicans and Democrats to protect our borders, enforce our laws, and address the millions of undocumented workers who are now living in the shadows. I know that debate will be difficult. I know it will take time. But tonight, let's agree to make that effort. Let's stop expelling talented, responsible young people who could be staffing our research labs or starting a new business, who could be further enriching this nation. The third step, winning the future, is rebuilding America. To attract new businesses to our our shores, we need the fastest, most reliable ways to move people, goods, and information. The high-speed internet. Our infrastructure used to be the best, but our lead has slipped. South Korean homes now have greater internet access than we do. Countries in Europe and Russia invest more in their roads and railways than we do. China's building faster trains and newer airports. Meanwhile, when our own engineers graded our nation's infrastructure, they gave us a D. We have to do better. America's the nation that built the Transcontinental Railroad, brought electricity to rural communities, constructed the interstate highway system. The jobs created by these projects didn't just come from laying down track or pavement. They came from businesses that opened near a town's new train station or the new off-ramp. So over the last 2 years, we've begun rebuilding for the 21st century, a project that has meant thousands of good jobs for the hard-hit construction industry. And tonight, I'm proposing that we redouble those efforts. We'll put more Americans to work repairing crumbling roads and bridges. We'll make sure this is fully paid for, attract private investment, and pick projects based on what's best for the economy, not politicians. Within 25 years, our goal is to give 80% of Americans access to high-speed rail. This could allow you to go places in half the time it takes to travel by car. For some trips, it'll be faster than flying, without the pat-down. As we speak, routes in California and the Midwest are already underway. Within the next 5 years, we'll make it possible for businesses to deploy the next generation of high-speed wireless coverage. 98% of our market. This isn't just about faster internet, fewer drop calls. It's about connecting every part of America to the digital age. It's about a rural community in Iowa or Alabama, where farmers and small business owners will be able to sell their products all over the world. It's about a firefighter who can download the design of a bird shelter onto a handheld device. Students who can take classes with digital textbooks. Or a patient who can have face-to-face video chats with their doctor. All these investments, innovation, education, and infrastructure will make America a better place for business and create jobs. But to help our companies compete, we also have to knock down barriers that stand in the way of their success. For example, over the years, a parade of lobbyists has rigged the tax code to benefit particular companies and industries. Those with accountants or lawyers to work the system can end up paying no taxes at all. But all the rest are hit with one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world. It makes no sense. It has to change. So tonight I'm asking Democrats and Republicans to simplify the system. Get rid of the loopholes. Level the playing field. Use the savings to lower the corporate tax rate for the first time in 25 years without adding to our deficit. It can be done. To help businesses sell more products abroad, we set a goal of doubling our exports by 2014. Because the more we export, the more jobs we create here. Already our exports are up. Recently we signed agreements with India and China that will support more than 250,000 jobs here in the United States. And last month we finalized a trade agreement with South Korea that will support at least 70,000 American jobs. This agreement has unprecedented support from business and labor, Democrats and Republicans. And I ask this Congress to pass it as soon as possible. Now, before I took office, I made it clear that we would enforce our trade agreements and that I would only sign deals that keep faith with American workers and promote American jobs. That's what we did with Korea. And that's what I intend to do as we pursue agreements with Panama and Colombia and continue our Asia-Pacific and global trade talks. To reduce barriers to growth and investment, I've ordered a review of government regulations. When we find rules that put an unnecessary burden on businesses, we will fix them. But I will not hesitate to create or enforce common sense safeguards to protect the American people. That's what we've done in this country for more than a century. It's why our food is safe to eat, our water is safe to drink, and our air is safe to breathe. It's why we have speed limits, child labor laws. It's why last year we put in place consumer protections against hidden fees and penalties by credit card companies, and new rules to prevent another financial crisis. And it's why we passed reform that finally prevents the health insurance industry from exploiting patients. Now, I have heard rumors that a few of you still have concerns about our new health care law.
This overcoat won't do.
So let me be the first to say that anything can be improved. If you have ideas about how to improve this law by making care better or more affordable, I am eager to work with you. We can start right now by correcting a flaw in the legislation that has placed an unnecessary bookkeeping burden on small businesses. What I'm not willing to do, is go back to the days when insurance companies could deny someone coverage because of a pre-existing condition. I'm not willing to tell James Howard, a brain cancer patient from Texas, that his treatment might not be covered. I'm not willing to tell Jim Houser, small businessman from Oregon, he has to go back to paying $5,000 more to cover his employees. As we speak, this law is making prescription drugs cheaper for seniors and giving uninsured students a chance to stay on their patients' parents' coverage. So I say to this chamber tonight, instead of refighting the battles of the last 2 years, let's fix what needs fixing and let's move forward. Now the final critical step in winning the future is to make sure we aren't buried under a mountain of debt. We are living with a legacy of deficit spending that began almost a decade ago. In the wake of the financial crisis, some of that was necessary to keep credit flowing, save jobs, and put money in people's pockets.
Always be alone.
But now that the worst of the recession is over, we have to confront the fact that our government spends
with
more than it takes in.
I've jumped
that is not sustainable. Every day, families sacrifice to live within their means.
Just one more.
They deserve a government that does the same.
Day.
So tonight, I am proposing that starting this year, we freeze annual domestic spending for the next 5 years. Now, this would reduce the deficit by more than $400 billion over the next decade, and will bring discretionary spending to the lowest share of our economy since Dwight Eisenhower was president. This freeze will require painful cuts. Already, we've frozen the salaries of hardworking federal employees for the next 2 years. I propose cuts to things I care deeply about, like community action programs. The Secretary of Defense has also agreed to cut tens of billions of dollars in spending he is in his general. I believe our military can do without. I recognize that some in this chamber have already proposed deeper cuts. And I'm willing to eliminate whatever we can honestly afford to do without. Let's make sure that we're not doing it on the backs of our most vulnerable citizens. And let's make sure that what we're cutting is really excess waste. Cutting the deficit by gutting our investments in innovation and education is like lightning and overloaded airplane by removing its engine. It may make you feel like you're flying high at first, but it won't take long before you feel the impact. Now, most of the cuts and savings I proposed only address annual domestic spending, which represents a little more than 12% of our budget. To make further progress, we have to stop pretending that cutting this kind of spending alone will be enough. It won't. The bipartisan fiscal commission I created last year made this crystal clear. I don't agree with all their proposals, but they made important progress. And their conclusion is that the only way to tackle our deficit is to cut excessive spending wherever we find it. In domestic spending, defense spending, healthcare spending, and spending through tax breaks and loopholes. This means further reducing healthcare costs, including programs like Medicare and Medicaid, which are the single biggest contributor to our long-term deficit. The health insurance law we passed last year will slow these rising costs, which is part of the reason that nonpartisan economists have said that repealing the health care law would add $250 billion to our deficit. Still, I'm willing to look at other ideas to bring down costs, including one that Republicans suggested last year, medical malpractice reform to rein in frivolous lawsuits. Put us on solid ground, we should also find a bipartisan solution to strengthen Social Security for future generations. We must do it without putting at risk current retirees, the most vulnerable, the people with disabilities, without slashing benefits for future generations, and without subjecting Americans guaranteed retirement income to the whims of the stock market. And if we truly care about our deficit, we simply can't afford a permanent extension of the tax cuts for the wealthiest 2% of Americans. Before we take money away from our schools, scholarships away from our students, we should ask millionaires to give up their tax cuts. It's not a matter of punishing their success. It's about promoting America's success. fact, the best thing we could do on taxes for all Americans
so
is to simplify the individual tax code. This will be a tough job, but members of both parties have expressed an interest in doing this, and I am prepared to join them. So now is the time to act. Now is the time for both sides, both houses of Congress, Democrats and Republicans, to forge a principled compromise that gets the job done. If we make the hard choices now to rein in our deficit, we can make the investments we need to win the future. Let me take this one step further. We shouldn't just give our people a government that's more affordable. We should give them a government that's more competent and more efficient. We can't win the future with a government of the past. We live and do business in the information age. But the last major reorganization of the government happened in the age of black and white TV.
My funny Valentine.
There are 12 different agencies that deal with exports.
Sweet coming.
There are at least
Valentine.
5 different agencies that deal with housing policy.
You
then there's my favorite example. The Interior Department is in charge of salmon while they're in freshwater, but the Commerce Department handles them when they're in saltwater. I hear it gets even more complicated once they're smoked. Now, we've made great strides over the last 2 years in using technology and getting rid of waste. Veterans can now download their electronic medical records with a click of the mouse. We're selling acres of federal office space that hasn't been used in years. And we'll cut through red tape to get rid of more. But we need to think bigger. In the coming months, my administration will develop a proposal to merge, consolidate, and reorganize the federal government in a way that best serves the goal of a more competitive America. I will submit that proposal to Congress for a vote, and we will push to get it passed. In the coming year, we'll also work to rebuild people's faith in the institution of government. Because you deserve to know exactly how and where your tax dollars are being spent, you'll be able to go to a website and get that information for the very first time in history. Because you deserve to know when your elected officials are meeting with lobbyists, I ask Congress to do what the White House has already done. Put that information online. And because the American people deserve to know that special interests aren't larding up legislation with pet projects, both parties in Congress should know this. If a bill comes to my desk with earmarks inside, I will veto it. I will veto it. The 21st century government that's open and competent. A government that lives within its means. An economy that's driven by new skills and new ideas. Our success in this new and changing world will require reform, responsibility, and innovation. It will also require us to approach that world with a new level of engagement in our foreign affairs. Just as jobs and businesses can now race across borders, so can new threats and new challenges. No single wall separates East and West. No one rival superpower is aligned against us. And so we must defeat determined enemies wherever they are and build coalitions that cut across lines of region and race and religion. And America's moral example must always shine for all who yearn for freedom, justice, and dignity. Because we've begun this work, tonight, we can say that American leadership has been renewed and America's standing has been restored. Look to Iraq, where nearly 100,000 of our brave men and women have left with their heads held high. American combat patrols have ended. Violence is down. The new government has been formed. This year, our civilians will forge a lasting partnership with the Iraqi people while we finish the job of bringing our troops out of Iraq. America's commitment has been kept. The Iraq war is coming to an end. Of course, as we speak, Al-Qaeda and their affiliates continue to plan attacks against us. Thanks to our intelligence and law enforcement professionals, we're disrupting plots and securing our cities and towns. And as extremists try to inspire acts of violence within our borders, we are responding with the strength of our communities, with respect for the rule of law, with the conviction that American Muslims are a part of our American family. We've also taken the fight to Al-Qaeda and their allies abroad. In Afghanistan, our troops have taken Taliban strongholds and trained Afghan security forces. Our purpose is clear. By preventing the Taliban from reestablishing a stranglehold over the Afghan people, we will deny Al-Qaeda a safe haven that served as a launching pad for 9/11. Thanks to our heroic troops and civilians, fewer Afghans are under the control of the insurgents. There will be tough fighting ahead. The Afghan government will need to deliver better governance. But we are strengthening the capacity of the Afghan people and building an enduring partnership with them. This year, we will work with nearly 50 countries to begin a transition to an Afghan lead. And this July, we will begin to bring our troops home. Pakistan, Al-Qaeda's leadership is under more pressure than at any point since 2001. Their leaders and operatives are being removed from the battlefield. Their safe havens are shrinking. We sent a message from the Afghan border to the Arabian Peninsula to all parts of the globe. We will not relent, we will not waver, and we will defeat you. American leadership can also be seen in the effort to secure the worst weapons. Because Republicans and Democrats approved the new START treaty, far fewer nuclear weapons and launchers will be deployed. Because we rallied the world, nuclear materials are being locked down on every continent so they never fall into the hands of terrorists. Because of a diplomatic effort to insist that Iran meet its obligations, the Iranian government now faces tighter sanctions than ever before. And on the Korean Peninsula, we stand with our ally South Korea and insist that North Korea keeps its commitment to abandon nuclear weapons. This is just a part of how we're shaping a world that favors peace and prosperity. With our European allies, we revitalized NATO and increased our cooperation on everything from counterterrorism to missile defense. We reset our relationship with Russia, strengthened Asian alliances, built new partnerships with nations like India. This March, I will travel to Brazil, Chile, and El Salvador to forge new alliances across the Americas. Around the globe, we're standing with those who take responsibility, helping farmers grow more food, supporting doctors who care for the sick, and combating the corruption that can rot a society and rob people of opportunity. Now, recent events have shown us that what sets us apart must not just be our power, it must also be the purpose behind it. In South Sudan, with our assistance, the people were finally able to vote for independence after years of war. Thousands lined up before dawn. People danced in the streets. One man who lost four of his brothers at war summed up the scene around him. "This was a battlefield for most of my life," he said. "Now we want to be free." And we saw that same desire to be free in Tunisia, where the will of the people proved more powerful than the writ of the dictator. And tonight, let us be clear. The United States of America stands with the people of Tunisia and supports the democratic aspirations of all people. We must never forget that the things we've struggled with and fought for live in the hearts of people everywhere. We must always remember that the Americans who have borne the greatest burden in this struggle are the men and women who serve our country. One voice, in reaffirming that our nation is united in support of our troops and their families. Let us serve them as well.